So good to see you all here. Do you know that today is officially on the church calendar Good Shepherd Sunday? Did you know there was such a thing? I didn't know there was such a thing. But it's such, to me, like a Sunday to reflect on one of the most tender images of who God is. I was just thinking that as we were singing worship this morning and how Christianity really, in its essence, is a response. It's sometimes we think of it as a choice, and certainly there's an element of choosing, and yet really it's a reaction to this love that is coming at us, initiated by God, God's pursuit. And today we get to focus on God as shepherd. It's kind of a big week this last week. Taylor Swift came out with a new album. Right? And like the whole world pauses for that moment and recognize like 200 million streams on the first day, right? Like you go, it's an interesting thing when you think about the common language of the world has become in many ways pop culture. And Taylor is clearly like hitting on something, right? She's tapped into something that's very human. I'm guessing that probably all of us deep down reminisce about past relationships, right? That must be it. I guess that's what kind of every Taylor Swift song. For some reason, we like to just think about that and like console ourselves or something. But anyway, she can't be wrong, right? I mean, that many people. It's like pizza. It's like even when it's bad, it's good, right? But I had a fun moment this last week where I got to go listen to my son's last concert that he did at Point Loma. He's graduating, which is... It's kind of amazing thinking that I have a son that's graduating from college. Like, I'm at that stage of life. But my son has become my musical influence. Talking to Travis about this morning, that like, the only reason I know new music is because of Gabe, right? And it's going to be all these bands like Hiatus Coyote. Does anybody know them? They're awesome, right? Yeah, the boys in the front. They're like, yep, right? Exactly. Tame Impala. How many Tame Impala fans out there, right? Everybody's heard of Taylor Swift, but my son would go, if you want to listen to good music, here it is, Dad. And, I think today our scripture would be like David's hit. David was a songwriter. He was a musician. If David went around and toured, this is the song everybody would be waiting for. Are you going to do Psalm 23? And this is the song that David wrote that everybody, this would have the 200 million downloads on Spotify. This is like his big one. And I think part of it is that it touches something really, really deep. It gives us an image of God that I think reflects what our hearts are longing for. And in this psalm, David is going to reflect on who God is, and who we are, and what this relationship looks like. And it's an interesting one because it's an image that I think, sometimes we are like surprised that Jesus says, you have to come like a child, right? And then we go, but what it means to be a Christian is like these 20 points of doctrine or something like that. And you see a kid's like falling asleep. But you hold up this image of a shepherd and a lamb and a child goes, I get it, right? To be cared for, to be provided for, to be protected. That as we're on this journey, I think all of us deep down know we're pretty helpless. Without a shepherd, we're vulnerable. Without a shepherd, we're lost. But with a shepherd, we're safe. We're comforted. And so I think that's why this psalm, if I ever do a memorial service and ask for what would you like read? People are going to say, can you read the 23rd Psalm? That it speaks to something true in us. So let me read these words. I like this translation from the CSB. We've been kind of teaching out of this recently. But Psalm 23, maybe a little bit different of a translation than what you memorized as a kid. A psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Amen. Amen. The word of the Lord. Now, I think in this, there's something that's not just speaking a truth of comfort to us, but is bringing us back into a, what I would say, like a congruent relationship with reality. That oftentimes, I think, our life gets distorted, that we're worrying about things we don't need to be worried about, we're anxious about things that we don't need to be anxious about, we're pursuing things that we think we need, but we don't. And I love how this passage starts with this simple reminder that you have everything you need. You want for nothing. Now, how many of you believe that? I don't, right? I think the Lord is my shepherd. I have most of what I need, but not everything, right? I mean, just the simple fact that I'm not totally in control of my life. And don't I need control? I don't have every desire of my heart. Don't I need every desire met? And sometimes this reminder pulls us back into reality, like, I know you want that, Jeff, but you don't need that. This is a common thing about sheep, by the way. Sheep have this way of going and eating things that are terrible for it. Without a shepherd, it will go find the poisonous berries and just start chowing away on it. You see the shepherd going, that's not what you need. That's not even really what you want. We have everything that we need. Plenty of times where I feel like I'm not safe. Plenty of times where I feel like, God, are you here? And this reminder, I'm with you. Even in the valleys, I'm with you. I think I have, as I read this, it brings this sort of calming where I have to like readjust my life to this reality. That things are okay, even when they don't feel like it. I like how Richard Rohr, I think, is the one who says it's this sense of this deep okayness with the world. Like everything is all right. Everything is going to be all right. Plenty of times I need that reassurance. Every time I pull up my news feed and I'm like, oh no, the world's going to end. And I think the shepherd says, it will. But even then, all things will be made new. And this message says, this is who God is. God is a shepherd who protects and provides. It also reminds me, you're a sheep, Jeff. And you'll always kind of be a sheep. There's so much humility in both of those terms. Shepherd was not like this powerful executive, right? God saying, I'm a shepherd is like pulling him down into a very blue-collar, somewhat menial line of work. That God is saying, that's who I am, the one who cares for these little sheep, which, by the way, is you, which is not so flattering. I was reading this week that there are no wild sheep. You want to know why? They die. That when sheep stray, it's just a matter of time. They'll starve. They'll end up in a ditch. Have you seen that? There's a little video that's going around on Instagram of the sheep that like guy pulls out of the trough or whatever, and then it just bounds and goes right back into the trough, right, head first. And this is like what sheep do. They're helpless. They're somewhat pathetic. That as sheep are going through their life, they're sort of desperate. It makes me think of that. You remember like season one Ted Lasso where Keeley's like, "What would you rather be, a panda or a lion?" And Rebecca's like, "A lion, right? We all want to be a lion." Like, sheep is worse than panda. It just dependent. But I think this is what it comes in and reassures right off the bat. That deep down inside, we probably all know we're a bit of a sheep. It's not what we would choose as our spirit animal. We would choose something a little bit stronger, more wild, you know. But a sheep, dependent, needs a shepherd, not just for most of the day, but like all the time it needs a shepherd. When sheep wander off, they get themselves in trouble. And I've used this before, but I love it. There's a picture here. Do you have the... So the term for this is downcast. This is what it means to be downcast. And it's actually fairly common. Sheep go and they lay down to sleep and they get stuck on their back. This sheep is just, it's like a ticking time bomb waiting to die. It cannot get itself back over. And this is fairly common. And so a shepherd, when he comes out, if he's missing a sheep, right, he'll go out and sure enough, there it is, upside down. And I love this as like a point of reflection for us. How many of you feel like that today? Right? You're like, yeah, sort of on your back. And you wonder what's going through that sheep's mind right now. Right? Nailed it. So good. I love that. If this is me, I'm like, I'm such an idiot. I'm such an idiot. There's this book that was written years ago now. It's kind of become like sort of an oldie but a goodie called A Shepherd's View on the 23rd Psalm or something like that. And he talks about going and finding his downcast sheep. And he says that, like, what he says every time when he sees there, he goes, there you are, you little rascal. And I thought, oh, you know, what we're embracing here in this image, there's a helplessness, but there's also the shepherd's response, which is just affection towards this helpless little creature. Psalm 43:5, David, a shepherd before he was a king, says, why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. What a beautiful reminder. What goes through God's mind when we're there on our back? He's like, oh, you little rascal. Right? We know just how pathetic we must look. And yet God comes to us in that place with affection. What a beautiful reminder. I think for us to embrace this requires embracing this part of ourselves. It reminds me of that hymn, Come Thou Fount, where he says, prone to wander, prone to leave. And sometimes we want to think that at this point, like we sort of have graduated from the sheep phase, right? We've promoted from that. I used to be totally dependent. Now I'm more of one of the self-sufficient sheep. Prone to wander. And the response of that hymn, which to me is like such an important reminder, is, here's my heart, Lord. Right? Here's my heart. Take and heal it. And then we talk about this as a response. And really what it is not just admitting the fragility of our souls, the tendency to wander, but the deep need for healing. And that it comes with this sense of surrender. The response of the sheep to the shepherd is one of yielding, and it's one of trust. The only way there is healing in our lives is going to be if we are trusting our shepherd, offering our heart. But the truth is, a lot of us have over time lost some of that trust, haven't we? The images at first, the sheep laying down in the green pasture, the sheep walking beside quiet waters, are this picture of such deep contentment, right? A sheep, I remember Dallas Willard said this, a sheep doesn't lay down in a green pasture, he eats. A sheep doesn't walk beside quiet waters, it drinks. This image of this deep contentment, right? This is the promise. This is what the shepherd longs to show the sheep, is how to experience that contentment. But the psalm doesn't just simply remain there. It takes us all the way down into the valley, the place where it's dark, the place where we're surrounded by enemies, and says, even there, you're safe. I don't know about you, but there have been times where I've felt like so unsafe. I feel like I'm at this stage right now of coming out of the valley, to be honest. I totally recommend that. It's way better out of the valley than in the valley, at least, you know, from the overall sense of safety and trust. And I was at a pastor's conference, just a like one-day event this last week, but saw a bunch of friends that have been pastors for as long as I have been, and really fun to connect with some of these guys. But every single one, I'm like, how are you? And they're like, oh my gosh, like, I feel like I'm barely like recovering, but I'm recovering, right? All of us thinking back on the last 4 years. And you know, it's been four years since the first COVID shutdown. And I don't know if there's ever been a more difficult time to lead, to shepherd, than in a time of such deep uncertainty. I feel like we all went into the valley together. During that time, leadership was like constant guesswork. What do we do now? And you're like, I don't know. Where's the book on this? It's not been written. How do you respond? I think that oftentimes during COVID, I felt like I was just managing disappointment. Like, I'm probably on the right path as long as both sides are equally disappointed. And I came across this quote from this guy, Ron Heifetz, who writes about adaptive leadership. And I thought, I just kind of clung to this. He said that leadership is disappointing people at a rate they can absorb. Sorry about that, by the way. That in some ways, what Heifetz is saying is if you're not disappointing people, you're not leading them. You're just managing them. That trust is not just something to be stockpiled up. That it's something that we use. Trust is like fuel. That we have a God who builds into us deep trust, deep contentment, and then leads us into the valley. Why? So that that deep heart work will take place. I remember at one point I was talking about this, like it's hard to be a disappointment, right? But what my spiritual director asked me one time is, Jeff, do you think God disappoints you at a rate you can absorb? And I was like, oh gosh, I don't like to think about my shepherd disappointing me at a rate I can absorb. That not only is he leading me into life, but he's leading me into health, into transformation. He's leading me into growth. And if he does, there are going to be times where I'm disappointed by my shepherd. I've actually thought that from time to time when I see God doing something and I think, that's the wrong call. Or like, I get where you're going. It's a better way, faster way, quicker way, less painful way. Like, let me be the shepherd for a minute, God. And he's like, Jeff, you're the sheep. I remember thinking at one point, reflecting on that and going, is God disappointing me at a rate I can absorb? And there's been times where I've thought, that's enough. This is more than I can absorb. I remember, I'm not one of those that like gets the like real audible voices from God, but I do have like a handful of times where it's just come so clear to me. And I remember in that valley thinking like, oh God, why are you asking me to do this kind of thing? You know, poor me, poor Jeff. And he's like, you need this. And I remember thinking, oh gosh, that's not what I was expecting to hear. I think there's something in me that probably likes to comfort myself in thinking, like, this is too much, right? I came across this meme, like, on, like, some little Instagram meme where it said something like, God, why do you give me your hardest battles? And God's response was, I don't. You're my weakest warrior. It's just an email. As I read that, I'm like, oh gosh, that's so true right there. Why am I suffering? He's like, you're not, Jeff. You're not suffering. This is so hard. It's not. It's why I think I'm drawn to Jeremiah, because I think Jeremiah was one of these kind of prophets that was like, I don't want to do this anymore. And God's like, hey, if you're struggling running against men, how are you going to race against horses? And this is like what's so interesting is that we're embracing this like helpless sheep, but there's also a very glorious thread in what God is doing in our life. Where God speaks, I think, sometimes to me most clearly like a coach going, get back in there. You got this. You're faster than you think. This is more than I can absorb. And he's like, you can absorb this. But I absorb it because he's with me. He's alongside me. You think of that beautiful verse where Jesus is saying, be yoked to me. Let's carry this together. And so this surrender, this dependence is like always at the heart of this relationship. We never become like our independent shepherding selves. We're always going to be shepherded by God. And yet called to shepherd others. I came across a quote from John Mark Comer the other day where he said, he's talking about ministry, but I was thinking you could almost look at life through this lens where he said, ministry will either burn you out or clean you out. And I think sometimes like life burns us out or cleans us out. And I think oftentimes it does both. It like refines. There's a heat, but it's not this heat that consumes. It's this heat that refines. It's like the tempering of steel. It makes us soft and hard at the same time. That without that heat, that iron is brittle and will break. There's a flexibility that fire creates in us and a strength at the same time. And this is, I think, what the shepherd does when he leads us into these valleys. He's teaching us deep things about who we are called to be. And the answer to that, who are we called to be? The answer is like him. Psalm 23, God is my shepherd. What's interesting in our next passage today from John is Jesus pointing to this song. This wasn't just, Psalm 23 wasn't just a hit in our day. It was a hit in Jesus' day. The Hebrew people deeply love this song. And in John 10, Jesus is standing before the people and goes, that song is about me. John 10:11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, since he's not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep, leaves them and runs away when he sees a wolf coming. The wolf then snatches and scatters them. This happens because he's a hired hand and doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep, but I have other sheep that are not from this sheep pen. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Then there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have the right to lay it down. I have the right to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Jesus says again, I am the good shepherd. And what we see, and this is the way all scripture is working, is it's like truth that keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. God is the good shepherd. He provides for us. He protects us. He leads us. Jesus comes in and says, I am the good shepherd. I die for you. You're mine. And this intimacy, right, of what you see is this shepherd is saying, you matter like enough that I would lay everything down for you. There's this almost ridiculous love of the shepherd for his sheep. This idea that he'll leave all of them for the sake of one that is lost. It's just this deep, deep compassion. And I think for us, when we think of our pain, right, and we're going through the darkness and we're afraid and we feel like, oh my gosh, I'm so overwhelmed, right? We have got a shepherd that's going, I understand. I know. I remember a time where I was feeling kind of in one of those valleys and sort of this kind of honest crying out like, oh God, this hurts really bad. And it was like Jesus said, I know. And that to me was profoundly comforting. The fact that God's not sitting there at this distance from the sheep going, I wonder what that is like. He's going, this is a shepherd who becomes a sheep. This is so profound. It's John the Baptist, when he sees Jesus, he says, behold the Lamb. This shepherd that becomes a sheep, that then lays down his life for the rest. I remember reading in C.S. Lewis's book, The Problem of Pain, and he's saying, none of us can experience more than just simply our individual pain, even when somebody else is suffering, right? We look at their suffering and we experience it in relation to our identification with our own suffering, that we can only suffer really as much as one individual can suffer. There's only one who understands collective pain, and that's Jesus. He's the one who bears the pain and weight of everyone's suffering. This is what Jesus takes upon himself on the cross. This is the love of the shepherd for the sheep. And for us to get a picture of that, it's what we look at when we see on Good Friday, when we remember the cross, when we remember the cost. A shepherd who puts himself up there. He's like, you didn't put me up there, I put myself up there. The profoundness of that moment is that he just goes willingly, purposefully towards the cross. And he does it out of this heart of such compassion. There's this show that Patty and I like, All Creatures Great and Small, which, you know, if you need some comfort, go watch James and Helen. It's like just such a tender show about a veterinarian. And but in one of the episodes, they have this little sheep that is rejected by its mother. And this is something that happens as well. Not only do sheep get like turned on their back and helpless, but sheep will also like neglect one of their little lambs, and they call it a bummer lamb. And the helplessness of these sheep is that they'll die without their mother. They're helpless and they'll just be rejected. And so the only way this little sheep is saved is for the shepherd to take it into his home and to care for it. That he nurses it. He gets it so that it's able to function on its own before he puts it back outside. And what I love about this story is that they're saying for these little bummer lambs, you always know who they are even when they grow up, because they're the first ones that come running when the shepherd cries out to the sheep. A few verses later in John 10, he's going to say, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. And when Jesus is saying here, like, I'm the shepherd and I know you, and you have this opportunity to know me, he's coming in this tender way and like bringing us into that space of intimacy so that we'll know and recognize his voice as we grow, that we'll never lose sight of that. And to me, I think as we reflect on this, how important is it that we're listening and knowing the voice of our shepherd? Because there are wolves here. Clearly, Jesus is mentioning the vulnerability of the sheep and how important it is that we know and discern God's voice. Not the voices within us or the voices that we long to hear or the voices that excite us or make us anxious, but that voice that pierces through all of that with such clarity. Do we know that voice? And I think sometimes it's in our helplessness that we really understand who God is. It's in those low points where God comes and meets with us. And that has been the truth for me. That I think my times of deepest comfort and intimacy with God have happened in some of the lowest valleys of my life. Where God comes there and speaks right to me, whether it's my own struggles or failures or frustrations. I love Peter's story. And when Peter sees Jesus after the resurrection, there's just this beautiful moment, right? Because the disciples have basically felt like they kind of forfeited their assignment. They all failed, but especially Peter, right? We talked about that on Easter where Jesus says, tell the disciples and Peter, like especially Peter, make sure he knows. But they go back to fishing and then all of a sudden Jesus is on the beach. And scripture says that Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore. Which to me is such a great picture. And I still kind of chuckle thinking, I bet you the guys in the boat actually probably beat him to shore to see Jesus. And Peter's like still swimming, right? But it was like he couldn't help himself. He just plunges into the water, swims to shore. There's Jesus. And Jesus is making a meal for Peter. And they have breakfast there. But this is like the shepherd and his little lamb connecting. And Jesus is going to ask him three times the question, do you love me? I kind of think at the heart of the gospel, this is the simple question God asks. Do you love me? He asks it three times and Peter realizes, oh, this is connecting with his shame, with his failure. He was going to be the one who like defended Jesus till the end. And, you know, he was going to be the lion and turns out he's the lamb. Do you love me? He says, of course I do. And Jesus says, feed my sheep. And this assignment of shepherd, I think that statement to Peter is what God's saying to us. I think every single day we wake up and God goes, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. And it starts with that question. I mean, are we able to receive that love and then give that love? I remember Thomas Merton told this story one time where he was saying that as a little boy, he would be playing with a friend and he had a little brother. And that as he was building this fort with his friend, his brother so wanted to play and that, poor guy, he would like throw rocks at his brother to keep his little brother away. And that his brother would just stand there just out of range watching. And Merton thought, I think that's where all man's problems stem from, is rejection of love. It's like, leave me alone. That there's some love that we just like, for whatever reason, can't handle. We reject it, right? That little brother that's like, can I play? And we're like, no. What is that thing in us? And there's a surrender to that love that triggers something. Whatever that is, our pride or fear, or independence, or whatever that thing is, self-obsession, that little bit of cruelty in all of us that rejects that love. And as Jesus is asking Peter this question, do you love me? There's a sort of lowering of our guard, a humbling of our hearts, a surrendering of this posture to receive that love sometimes. Feels really vulnerable. It's like God coming and turning us off of our back onto our feet, right? And we're like so embarrassed. Like, don't look at me, don't look at me. And God's saying, do you love me? Trust me. But then he's saying, you need to see others this way. When you look around and you see that person that just is like so irritating, they probably remind you of your own sheepishness, I'm guessing. But we're like, oh, look at that idiot. And God's like, no, 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 like, look at that little rascal. Look at that person that's as helpless as you, as dependent as you. Look at that person that just needs love and compassion. John is going to go on in his epistle later in 1 John, and he says, this is how we've come to know love. He laid his life down for us. We should also lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has this world's goods and sees a fellow believer in need but withholds compassion from him, how does God's love reside in him? Little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in action and truth. John, instead of calling us little lambs, is going to call us little children. And he had such like that tender pastoral heart. But Jesus is modeling something for us, that we too are to go and be shepherds. We're to go out and find the lost. We're to go out and we're to care for those in need, to turn people over that need help, provide a little bit of guidance and reassurance back to the quiet streams and the green pastures. But we first must receive that love. We talk about how as a church, our mission statement is that we want to become like Christ for the sake of others. And it's this sort of circularity to this, that as God loves us, we become more and more like him. But our becoming more and more like him is to love what he loves, to care for those that he cares for, to receive and to give over and over again. As we do, our hearts heal. Can we look to the failures of others and respond with compassion? Can we bear the disappointments of the world and respond with grace and mercy? Only by remaining sheep and staying close to the shepherd. Only then do we have the capacity to truly love the shepherd and others. Some questions for you today. Number one, how much of your day are you aware that God is with you? How much are you aware of your shepherd? Is it just a morning check-in? Sometimes maybe we skip that, go straight to coffee. Are there ways that you can pull your attention back into the reality that God is with you? Especially when you're worried, especially when you feel that ache of need. Do we let God come in and shepherd? Do we hear his voice? Number two, how comfortable are you with change? Is God asking you to move somewhere, somewhere new with him in your life? Do you trust God to lead you away from where you were, from where you were comfortable? And again, how comfortable are we with disappointment? That every bit of change and transition, there's an element of loss. Are we willing to go with God where he's reassuring us we need to go? And lastly, where does your soul need to be restored? Some of you may feel like you're on your back today. How might the events or situations of your life be revealing where you need the most healing? How can you lean more trustingly into what God is doing to set you back on your feet? I write these questions so that you can take and think about them throughout the week. Reflect back on them where this message, this familiar song would become like imprinted on our hearts. Where we would notice more and more where God is at work and hear more and more carefully his voice.